Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me, alongside Kevin Herr.
That would be me.
Known to some as the Prince of Darkness.
I have a lot of names on this program, I've noticed. Captain Bitter seems to be everybody's favorite, though.
Well, we'll name you the Prince of Bitter, then. We'll combine both.
Oh, great. I got an email today, actually, that was titled, "Hey, Captain Bitters."
Really?
Yes.
Sponsor?
I don't know.
Don't you read them?
I did. But I wasn't. I only got a first name, so I don't think so. But.
And what was the gist of the email, if it's okay to reveal on the air?
We can't reveal that part of it on the air. It wasn't. Oh, really? It wasn't about the show. That's the funny part. It wasn't about the show at all. But obviously someone who listens.
Well, that's interesting.
Obviously someone who listens.
I just thought they love you.
Yeah, I thought you'd like to know that your little fun names have continued on into life as well.
The only time you really seem to become optimistic,
right,
is when we're talking about little cars going around in circles.
If we would have talked about that a little more last week, I would have told you how not optimistic I was, because Marco did not have a good weekend.
We talk about Vance Worley, bitter.
Happy he's back.
We talk about Roy Halladay, bitter. We talk about the Steelers and their new offensive system, bitter.
No. I have not. No, that's bitter. Ben Roethlisberger that's bitter about that, not me.
Yeah, you and your guy.
I'm fine with it.
You're both bitter. You know, we talk about your kid being below the Mendoza line. Whew, big bitter.
That's not bitter. That's reality. I'm a realist when it comes to that.
Nobody else out there gets those texts but me. I can tell.
Yeah.
I know more about this kid's career than Ryan Howard.
Well, you know, I asked his mother if I said, hey, guess what? He's almost at the Mendoza line. She goes, I've heard of him.
Mario Mendoza.
I said, do you know where he played? No, I've just heard somebody say that before.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what the show comes down to. That's why you are Captain Bitters.
I have not been the cheeriest of sports fans lately. I will admit that.
Big Ten. This is the 22nd anniversary of Penn State's entrance into the Big Ten. The Big Ten presidents, are they on the same page as their commissioner? The Big Ten today outlined its preference for college football's. Oh, by the way, before we get to this, I wanted one other story. Two Ohio State players, by the way, suspended for an incident that happened near Muirfield Village. Tight end Jake Stoneburner, 14 catches last year, 7 of which were touchdowns. And Jack Muhort, who have been singled out by Urban Meyer for his leadership in the offensive line, evidently were involved in some misdemeanor incident at 2:30 in the morning Saturday. And there is a big difference between being suspended from the football team on June 4th as opposed to being suspended on September 4th, because right now they're doing individual workouts and so forth, and that's what they're doing at this stage, okay? So something tells me when the 105-man roster comes out, the two of them will make the cut and be out there. Let's go to Buzz. Hi, Buzz, at 1-800-795-9565 on our phone line, powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, which is actually where I work. Not that that had anything to do with the call, but wanted to talk local baseball. You know, my wife and I so much enjoy going to Williamsport to watch that season up there. That's called a short season. I was wondering, when do you know does that start in Williamsport, and then what is the progression from that level as they move up? Where do they go as they better themselves in that system?
Well, the opener is 2 weeks from tonight, and
okay.
It's going to be State College against Williamsport in the opener. It'll be a 7:05 start 2 weeks from tonight. Then they'll play the second game of the series here. Mm-hmm. Then play the third game of the series back in Williamsport, and then the fourth game of the series here.
Well, when those kids get better at that sport, what's the next level for them to go to from that group?
Well, they then move to something that's called High A, and that's High A baseball. And
okay. When
you look at the Philly system, the next step for them is Lakewood.
Okay.
And that's in the South Atlantic League, and that's an A league. And they also have the Clearwater Threshers. They can go there as well. They're in the Florida State League. So that is the next step, one of those two. And then after that, it's Double A in Reading and Triple A in Lehigh Valley, then the big club. But after Williamsport, they usually go one of two places, either Clearwater or Lakewood.
That's great baseball. It's a great family event up there. It's a wonderful little stadium there. It's really reasonably priced, and all the seats are good. Do many of the kids that play at that level, do they get to move up? You know, what do you think the percentage is of them?
Oh, the percentage of them? I'd say the guys you see in Williamsport or we see here in State College, the vast majority of them, 75%, move up.
Oh, that's
great. The key is how far can they get, Buzz? And the critical level is Double A. Double A is the make or break level in most organizations. You get to Double A, and if you show you can break through the ceiling there, then get to Triple A. Now you put yourself on the possibility of being either on the shuttle to the big club or else in the mix to be thought of. If you can't cut it at the Double A level, your career is probably over.
Well, it's great fun. It's really fun to watch up there. It's surprisingly good quality baseball, and I would encourage everybody to go see that because it's a good night out.
Yeah, it is night out. And Williamsport Buzz has great fans at historic Bowman Field, good parking. Parking's great. I always try to make sure I park at a spot that's about 600 feet from home plate.
Yeah, you don't want a baseball through the windshield, that's for sure.
don't feel like turning that one into the insurance company.
I just didn't catch one in the stands rather than have it come into the car. So
exactly right.
They have really good hot dogs there, too.
Yeah, good ones and affordable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Notice how Kevin relates to the common man.
Yeah.
Buzz, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and that will start 2 weeks from tonight. They will open the season, Williamsport will, against State College. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. And we mentioned Stumbrenner and Muhort both being suspended. But again, being suspended now by Urban Meyer is a reaction to the incident. We're going to talk in more detail about what actually happened. But there are two starters on that offense. But there is a huge difference between being suspended on June 4th and being suspended on September 4th. I would expect that they will both be in the 105-man roster when they go to camp in August. And by the way, that is the limit. When you start training camp, you're only allowed to have 105 guys on camp. And say, for example, five or six guys get bumped up, hurt, something happens, whatever, or a grade issue comes up from the summer, you cannot replace them on that 105. Once you declare it, you declare it. And you cannot expand the roster in college football to then add in more walk-ons until the first day of classes at your school. I would expect both of them to be in the 105. Now, back to the Big Ten and the playoff. The Big Ten on Monday outlined the preference for college football's future postseason model, which included a selection committee with guidelines to help select the playoff participants. After meeting Sunday at Big Ten headquarters, the league's presidents and chancellors did not emerge with an official position on the playoff, but three preferred options. The first, according to Nebraska Chancellor Harvey Perlman, is to keep the first BCS model. The second is a plus-one model where two teams would be selected to play for the national title after all the bowl games are played. The third one is a true 14 playoff with semifinals taking place in existing bowl sites and a championship game bid out around the country. In the 14 model, the Big Ten strongly advocates using a selection committee. You're not going to get number one. You're not going to get number two. You're going to get number three. So at least they've covered all their bases in terms of what their preferences are, but it did include the eventual model as one of the three preferences, even though it may be last. Okay? Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney, by the way, has now changed his stance just a bit. A four-team model should be the best four teams, according to him. And that echoes the position of the SEC and the Big 12. That means the door, boys and girls, is now open to making it happen. He said he and the Big Ten presidents, though, don't believe the current BCS rating system, which includes polls and computer systems, is sufficient to select the top four. Everybody recognizes the present poll system is not a good proxy. Agreed. You may have complaints with the NCAA Basketball Selection Committee, but it is better than using a computer. It's better. Nothing replaces the eye test. I know, and Mike DeCourcy and I have talked about this. He goes, the eye test. I said, hey, Mike, I can look at that team and that team. I can tell you that team should be in, that team should be out. I said, I watch enough college basketball. He said, well, you can. Well, fine. But if it's your job to be in the committee, you know, every once in a while, I don't mind having data to show me strength of schedule and wins against top 50 in the thing, top 100 records, things like that. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But in the end, human beings should make the decision and not have a computer tell you these are the best four teams.
So do I understand you correctly? You're kind of looking at a selection committee?
Yes. I'd rather have a selection committee. I've always felt that.
No, I don't think it's a bad idea. I agree with you. I'm not fond of just data having to do with who should be there.
Yeah. I mean, now, can data assist in the selection? Absolutely. You should have every tool possible at your discretion to help out.
Yeah, and I don't want the AP poll or the ESPN USA Today poll. I don't want them to be the sole deciders either.
Oh, no. I don't want ESPN involved at all except carrying it. They should be carrying it as neutral observers, not as determining factors. A four-team model's the best, he says. Perlman said if the Big Ten presidents were to vote, they'd want to keep the current system. He said, but he did say, we're also realistic. In other words, he sees what the landscape is, which is fine. And I don't blame them for saying that. You know, it wasn't like they put out their official position is this is it, this is the way it should be, nothing else. They outlined what their three options are. They told everybody what they prefer as the option, which is fine. But they also left the door open that if another option was picked, they would go along with it. That's what they did. Nothing wrong with that. Delaney said the plus one system remains on the table, although a true 14 playoff has the most support nationally. The Big Ten reiterated its desire to preserve the prestige of the regular season and the Rose Bowl as much as possible. So we're trying to be open to conversation, said Perlman. We're trying to put a stake in the ground and say, we've tried not to put a stake in the ground and say over our dead body. That's fine. I understand that. Also, believe me, the Rose Bowl, to me, is still a very important component.
Yeah, but if you have a team that's going to the BCS championship game instead of the Rose Bowl, it still changes the Rose Bowl.
Sure it does, but it, you know, to me, it's, you know, if you have, in the way I would have done it last year, say Wisconsin made the 14 playoff, they wouldn't have, but say they did, right?
Right.
I'd have sent Michigan State. They won their division.
Well, the way I understood it, and maybe I misinterpreted what you were saying, they wanted to keep the integrity of the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if somebody, and by doing that, they can keep it, things the way they are. Well, still, if somebody goes to the BCS game, the integrity of the Rose Bowl is compromised anyway. So I'm not quite sure I follow their thought process there.
Well, I think they would like to see the Rose Bowl, if a Big Ten representative is involved in it, to be one of the semifinal games.
Unless it's the Pac-12 has an argument then. Well, wait a minute. Now you're taking our bowl game away to replace. No.
Who says they are one of the four teams?
And if that is one of the four teams, great. If they have one of the four teams, I think that's a great situation. But I don't know that that's going to happen every time out.
No. Well, it hasn't been happening every time out. Penn State in 2005 should have gone to the Rose Bowl and didn't. Went to the Orange Bowl instead. Big Ten advocates a selection committee for determining playoff participants that would value factors such as conference championships, strength of schedule. In the past, the league has supported a model that would have included the top three conference champions and one wild card team, but isn't completely wedded to that concept. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and go online to purdyinsurance.com. Also, our phone powered by Let It Be Solar. Visit them at letitbesolar.com, and we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. More on this playoff and your calls at 1-800-795-9565 after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay, Jim Delaney says it's possible to agree on a basic playoff model by June 26th, although he added that the discussion could continue into July or August before television negotiations begin in the fall. SEC officials said last week they would not compromise on the four best teams model for a playoff. Delaney said the different conferences are taking the high road during negotiations. What I read is not always what I hear at the meetings, Delaney said. At the meetings, we're making progress. I tend not to be pessimistic or overly optimistic. Our feeling is we're moving forward in a good direction on the model. Some of these issues are more mature than others. Not everybody is trying to get their cake and eat it, too. Not everybody is making demands. The Big Ten also announced that they are going to distribute a record $284 million in revenue to their members this year. Nebraska, which joined the conference in 2011, reportedly will receive a smaller share of the revenue until 2016 and 2017. 284. They divided it up, by the way, 13 ways. The conference office also gets a share. So that's how it works. 284. So there you are. Major League Baseball draft is tonight, by the way.
Are they holding that at the studios of the MLB Network?
Yes.
I thought that's what it looked like when I saw a picture of it. It was like baseball diamond laid out on the floor, and then everybody's desks are sprawled out over it.
Yeah.
It's not the same as at the Garden, but...
No. But it used to have a different look, though. When they were at the Marriott Marquis, they would actually show... They don't even show the draft tables anymore. Because they'd always try to sell you the phone that was... that they use. Get the real phone.
To sell you the phone?
Yeah, remember the commercials they had?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, come on.
I may have to look that up now.
Yeah. They used to have the phone they always, that they had on the draft table. They had replicas, and then you could actually buy the real one that was used at the draft. Cool, huh?
I'm looking that up. I think you made that up.
No, I'm not making that up. They ran commercials for it all the time during the draft.
It's not on the internet anywhere, so it never existed. It's not on the internet. It never happened.
Well, some of us have memories. You can't believe everybody when they said something didn't happen.
Not on the net. It's not on the net.
We've found that out around the world, haven't we? All right, final half hour of the show for today. Coming up, Jason Dombach on the draft tomorrow. Dick Girardi Friday on the Belmont Stakes. And then I'll have another.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Steve Jones with you. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Phone line is powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, and it is beautiful. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones along with Captain Bitters himself.
And there's no truth to the rumor that we will be selling the same phone that we use here on the program on the internet. So
I'm telling you, the helmet phone that they used
for
on
Major
those
League
tables,
Baseball.
Oh no, not in baseball. I'm talking about football. The NFL.
Now that I remember. Oh. I was thinking baseball when you said. I'm like, I don't remember a helmet phone in baseball.
Unbelievable.
All right. Yes, I wanted one desperately.
Everything heads south.
I wanted a helmet phone, a Steeler helmet phone, desperately growing up. Yes, now I know. I will concede. I do know what you're talking about now.
Wonderful. Unbelievable.
You know, we may have to put a picture of those on our website, stevejonesshow.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Searching for one now.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, there it is. There it is. $300 on eBay.
See? Told you.
Let's see. Here's a vintage one from 1990 for $200.
Perfect. Huh. It's on a roll now.
Yeah, we'll get a photo of these helmet phones on a website. I'll work on that now.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah, I like that. So you're getting better all the time.
Actually, they still sell these, I think. No, maybe not. I was going to say, I thought they still had them on NFL.com, but I don't think they are anymore.
Right.
I think they're just iPhones, iPhone covers now.
No, I'm sure. But, yeah, they were for sale before. And that's what we have. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Vance Worley back to the mound tonight for the Phils. Every team in the National League East is over 500. Every team in the American League East is over 500. And tonight, the Los Angeles Dodgers, after 53 games, do something they haven't done all season long. They'll play a game in the Eastern time zone. How about that? Tonight they play a game in the Eastern time zone. It took them till June 4th to play here. You want to talk about a franchise being given a schedule that is favorable beyond words. They had it. And it's allowed them to build a lot of early momentum. So this is the first time they've played in the Eastern time zone all season. Meanwhile, the Phillies and Pirates, for example, had to go west the first 2 weeks of the year. Really? Must be nice. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And Tiger Woods yesterday won, and the Memorial Tournament had a 138% increase in television ratings. 138% increase in TV ratings. How about that? Tells you everything about the draw of the man, whether you want him to win or not, just the pure draw of him. His next outing will be like most everybody else, the U.S. Open and Olympic Club in San Francisco. Next year, and I propose, by the way, we take the show on the road next year to Marion Country Club. Ardmore, Pennsylvania. That's where it is next year. The old course, which is hosting its first U.S. Open since 1981, when Australia's David Graham won. How would you like to go on the road to the U.S. Open?
I could see myself. Yeah. Yeah, I could force myself to do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Next year. I have an in.
It's all in who you know.
Believe me, I know the guy. Golf coach here at Penn State, Greg Nye. His brother runs it.
They have a line on their webpage. It said, scheduled to host the 2013 U.S. Open. Marion continues not only to challenge the world's best, but identify them as well.
Exactly. And some of the greatest players ever have played that course. That course will be one of the more interesting stops in the history of the U.S. Open. Why? In this era of long hitters, hybrid clubs, all the equipment changes that have benefited the long hitter in the game. And now you've been seeing left and right, quote, tiger-proof courses and so forth, even though for the most part he is tiger-proofed himself until yesterday. This course is shorter. Now, they've lengthened a couple holes, but there's only so much you can do. It's in a neighborhood.
This one hosted a U.S. Open in 71, didn't it?
81.
Was it 81 was the last one, but I thought this is where Nicholas and Trevino had that playoff.
Yep, 71 as well. Yep. It was in the rotation of regular courses.
Oh, yeah, we got to start that plan now.
Yeah. No, I just think we should. I also think we should do the show from Citizens Bank Park.
I'm all for that, too. Well, and there we don't have to whisper.
We won't have to whisper at this thing, either. You know what they have? They have an interview tent. I've covered the U.S. Open before. It's actually kind of cool. It's really, covering a U.S. Open's fun. But you actually get much more. I mean, I've walked the course of the U.S. Open, walked it, been around it, followed certain players from time to time. But eventually you go back to the interview tent because they have television on there and you get the full view of what's going on in the course. And then you have the players come in and you interview them. Welcome back to the show. Kevin now interviews Colin Montgomery. Kevin then comes back depressed.
I don't think so.
Why'd you make me do that?
Oh, he's panicked, difficult. Maybe, but not depressed.
He's difficult.
Oh, so that's like interviewing AJ Foyt. Is that what you're telling me?
It's not fun.
All right.
It's not fun. I'll tell you who's fun to interview about golf. Oh, Nicholas. Oh, my goodness. Interviewed him once. It was... You don't want the interview to end.
I find it amazing, though, that here's a guy who has so long played golf and been a part of it, but never really watches it.
One of the things that's always made him interesting over the years is he's had more interest than just playing golf. He's never been a singular focus guy. I mean, does he have to sit there and watch on television? I don't know. Everybody has their own interest, their own way of doing things. He loves football. Loves to watch football. But... I don't know.
Yeah, I just always thought that was strange. Here's a guy who's played golf all his life. And maybe it's because, well, have you ever done one of these things where you love playing it but can't stand watching it? I mean, maybe that's what the situation is. You want to be so involved in it that you just can't stand watching it.
No. Everybody's different. Nicholas is from an era, for example, where it was absolutely vital. You made the cut. Vital. And then pick up some prize money. I mean, what was the yesterday? Let's look at the Memorial Tournament yesterday. I mean, money. Now I realize you're talking about the top 160 golfers in the world.
Let's see, first prize was $1 million. Let's see, just a little over $1 million.
Yeah, and he doesn't need it. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, he doesn't need
it. I know.
You know, and that's my point. You know what the winner used to get so often in the 60s and early 70s? $20,000.
Yikes.
Now, $20,000 back then, pretty good. But then after that, there's the drop-off. My point's not what you win, okay? It is it's how much money does the guy in 25th place get?
Let's see, 25th. Well, there was a tie, so let's go with
27. It doesn't matter.
Stricker got $40,000, $40,800, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Finishing 27th.
And if you finished 76th, like Eric Compton did,
yep,
you receive $11,340.
Right. Now you have to cover your expenses because it's your ball game. It's your deal.
Yeah, but you do that three or four times in a season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just showing up last.
We have to make the cut, though.
Well, that's true. You do have to make, yeah.
I mean, that's the top 76. And you have to remember, there are only 1,000 professionals in the world. I'm talking about playing on tours. Asia, European, Australia, U.S. What, 1,000 maybe? That's why I always laugh when I hear, yeah, he stinks. No, he doesn't. It's like I hear a Major League Baseball player. Hey, he stinks. No, he doesn't.
The Memorial Tournament purse was $6.2 million total.
And by the way, they raised a lot of money for the Nationwide Children's Hospital, which has the same policy as St. Jude. If you cannot pay, you still get treatment. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All you have to do to get a hold of these fine people is to go online at purdyinsurance.com. They're located on Market Street in Sunbury. Come back with more at 1-800-795-9565 after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Our website poll. Look, the rivalry was killed by the Big 12 itself. They put them in opposite divisions, and they rotated off of each other's schedule, and the game was played in October instead of Thanksgiving weekend. Now, the Big 10, of course, has tried to preserve that with this crossover game, which, by the way, the SEC also does. But, you know, if you want Ohio State and Michigan to play every year, put them in the same division. I mean, is there some sort of dream out there where, hey, they're going to play and then they're going to play again a week later? Really? That concept doesn't light me up. But That's the way it is, and the Penn State Pitt rivalry. It's just not. It was before Tony Dorsett. Penn State was winning that game every year and doing so relatively easy. Then Dorsett came on the scene. Penn State was able to win 3 out of 4, and then, of course, Dorsett's senior year is the one they won. Then at that point, from the time Dorsett got on campus till probably a 10-year span, let's just say 10 years, it was hot, heavy, heated, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81. 82 game was good, 83 game was a tie, 84 Pitt won, and then after that, the 85 game was not a good game. Penn State shut them out, if I remember. 86 game, easy. 87, 88, 9, 90, 91, 92 is all Penn State.
How do you remember this?
I don't remember what.
I understand you were doing the games, I get that, but man, how do you remember that year by year? I bet you could tell me the score, too.
76 was 24-7.
That's just disgusting.
Penn State was, they moved Dorsett to fullback in the second half, and he gained 224 yards.
Who was he dating that year? I'm surprised you can't tell me that.
77 was in the snow. It was 15-13, Penn State. Hosteller made a couple big plays in that game. Elliot Walker was short of the goal line. 78 was 17-10 Penn State. 79
was 32 to 14. 80 was 14 to 9. 81, everybody knows, is 48 to 14. 82, I think 82 was, I want to say 17 to 10. And then 83 was 24-24. And 84 was, boy, Pitt went big. They went like 32 to 11 or something like that.
You're not reading this off somewhere, are you?
No, I'm just sitting here.
All right.
Then 85, Penn State shut them out 31 to nothing. And then 86, Penn State won big. It was 30-something to 10 or something like that.
34-14.
34-14. I don't know. How close was I on these?
Pretty darn close. Frighteningly close, I might say.
Okay.
Especially 81.
Well, 81, everybody knows that one.
Right.
Everybody knows the score.
And 83.
83 is 24-24.
Right.
I'll tell you a quick story about that. I have a short period of time. I'm the third announcer on the network at the time. I'm working with Gil Santos, John Grant. My job at that point is to do pregame, halftime, postgame scores of other games, things like that. So I always did the pregame with Joe. I did the postgame show with Joe. I go downstairs on 4 or 5 minutes to go, and all of a sudden Penn State's marching downfield, boom, game ends. Penn State loses 24-21. I go down into the interview room. I'm waiting. Nobody comes in. This janitor is going back and forth with his broom, right, with this big mop. Finally, he has a radio. He says, man, can you believe how Penn State came back and tied that game? I'm like going, what? They tied the game? So Joe comes into the interview room, and I figured the only question I could ask, said Joe, it said 24-21 Pitt, no time left in the clock. I said, how did Penn State end up tying that game? And he gave this long answer as to how they ruled it, how they mismanaged the clock and the whole thing. I asked it because I didn't know. Most times I ask a question, I usually do know the answer. That one I can tell you most assuredly. I didn't know until he told me. 24-24. Oh, I was 25 at the time.